you talking about, dearie?
Morning 90.9. They play bangers only.
Ah, indubitably.
Morning 90.9 FM Oneonta. Keep it locked in, people.
Mr. Rogers said, look for the helpers. Can always find people who are helping. Thank you to all the first responders who put their lives in danger to help us when my brothers and sisters need them. We look out for the helpers because they look out for us.
Thank you, first responders!
Thank you, first responders!
Help us help first responders in your community today. Go to firstrcf.org to learn more.
Hey everybody, you're listening to the Wone Weekly Update. Here are some upcoming events to look forward to this week. On Monday, the Women's Club Soccer Tryouts Day 1 are happening on the All-College Field at 7 o'clock p.m. On Tuesday, Trivia Tuesday will be happening in the Red Dragon Theater located in Hunt Union at 9 o'clock p.m. On Wednesday, there will be a Colorway Stress event happening in HECO Room 216 at 5:15 p.m. On Thursday, the Back to School Fest is happening located in the President's Garden at 5:30 p.m. On Friday, there's going to be a planetarium show titled Planetary Nebulae, Ghost of the Cosmos, in the SUNY Oneonta Planetarium located in the Purdue Science Building at 7 o'clock p.m. On Saturday, there will be a pizza
bingo with the Transfer Club event located in the Hunt Union Waterfront Ballroom at 6 o'clock p.m. And on Sunday, there will be the Terpsichorean Dance Company show selection event located in the Alumni Dance Studio at 12 o'clock p.m. This has been your Wone Weekly Update on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. More information about all of these events and more can be found on Campus Connection. Have a great weekend and keep it locked.
Yo, yo, chill. It's the chill hour. Keep it locked.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Oh, man, I'm talking over the... I'm going to talk over this sexy music here in the background. Episode 126, What's in Your Pocket? Appropriately, Jeff Doyle is here for Hump Day, as we all know. He's looking good in the corner over here. He's got some fancy... He's got new glasses, and they're pretty hip. For those of you who are not in the studio with me, which is everybody in the world, he's looking at himself in the mirror. We are going to get going in a little bit. I'm going to play one of my favorite Jim Croce tunes to start it off. Episode 126. I say that already? Yeah, all right. It's been a crazy past couple days. I don't know if I've slept. Did I sleep? I guess I slept. Maybe a little bit. Lots of friends, lots of gigs, lots of good times, lots of no stopping the rock, as we like to say. And this one's for everybody who loves the movie Django Unchained. It's a good solid flick. One of the good ones. And Jim Croce, who's just amazing. One of the best mustaches. I would say top 10 mustaches, along with Tom Selleck. Raleigh Fingers maybe is in there. There's some other ones. Here we go.
Like the pine trees lining the winding road, I've got a name, I've got a name. Like the singing bird in the croaking toad, I've got a name, I've got a name. And I carry it with me like my daddy did, but I'm living the dream that he kept here. Rolling me down the highway, rolling me down the highway, moving ahead so life won't pass me by. Down the sky, I've got a song, I've got a song. Like the whippoorwill and the beavers cry, I've got a song, I've got a song. And I carry it with me and I sing it loud if it gets me nowhere.
I got a dream.
They can change their mind, but they can't change me. I got a dream. I got a dream. Oh, I know I could share it if you want me to. If you're going my way, I'll go with you. Bend me down the highway. Go bend me down the highway. Oh man, it's a life won't pass me by. Go bend me down the highway. Go bend me down the highway. Oh man, it's a life won't pass me by.
We're here with Jeff Doyle, one of my old buds and a good a staple of the community.
What's going on, Mark?
Oh, what is going on? Lots of stuff is going on.
What's going on?
Exactly. So we are deep into week three up here
school. Is that already week three?
I know, it's pretty crazy. The town's starting to hop back, right?
It is indeed, yes.
Foothills, I'm sure, is hopping.
Oh, yeah.
You're always hopping, though. You got all kinds of stuff
going
on.
Yeah, we got seven events in 3 days this weekend.
Wow. Let's talk about the events first.
Okay,
and then we'll get into some other stuff. We're gonna get into some weird trivia stuff today and some Barry White.
Yeah.
Barry White's always good.
Barry White, baby.
Barry White. Okay, so... If anybody doesn't know out there, which is ridiculous if you don't know already, but Jeff runs the Foothills PAC in Oneonta.
You know,
he's like the head honcho, like executive director. Is that what?
That is correct.
That's your title, right?
I am the ED.
And the ED, but not the ED. Are we allowed to say that? Is that on the list?
Not on the list. We're good.
Great. Sweet. Okay. So, anyways, what is going on at the Foothills this weekend?
Well, we've got a couple of things going on this weekend that are open to the public anyway. And mainly, we've got the Decades Dance, which is, you know, a costume event with music from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and today. And it's all being played chronologically throughout the evening.
Hence decades, even that's, though that's 6 decades.
Yeah, it's like a lot of decades. It's not our event.
We could say that's sex aids.
I don't know if you can say that. Oh, it's on the list. It's on
is
the
it?
List. No, it's
not. Oh, damn it.
anyway.
Yeah, what's the prefix for six? It's sex, right? Yeah, sex top lit.
That's correct.
Sex aids.
You know, technically not wrong. and we also have...
It's already started,
we
folks.
We have an ABBA tribute this week.
No way!
Oh, yes. And you'll be, I'm sure, not at all surprised to know that it is our best-selling concert this year.
Well, I mean, I, you know, to believe it or not, this morning I put on ABBA's Greatest Hits.
No, I
S.O.S.
am not surprised.
Yeah, S.O.S. was on. I did not know this was happening, but I will also not be at the ABBA show, unfortunately, because I got multiple gigs and stuff.
Yeah, no, I figured as much.
When is that, Friday?
It's Saturday.
Saturday night?
Yeah, Saturday, 7 o'clock.
Did it sell out?
They're called Mamma Mania. No, we haven't sold out.
Okay.
You know, I think we're about 300 right now.
Okay, so people can still get tickets to this. How much is it?
It's $25.
Cool.
It's about a 2.5-hour performance with an intermission.
I bet you they're going to play Fernando.
Oh, absolutely. How could they not play Fernando?
Fernando's pretty
good. Fernando.
Meow, 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 Fernando. Okay. Damn. Okay, so, oh, and they're probably going to play Waterloo. Beep, 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 beep. They're probably going to play that one. Have they been there before?
No, this is our first time working with these guys.
Oh, awesome.
I will say, you know, we get a lot of these tribute bands. We do a lot of tribute bands because we're Oneonta. We have a 588-seat theater. We can't afford, like, the real thing, right?
Yeah.
But not all of these tribute bands are, like, as professional as this one. Like, this band has... You know, full tour packet they send over with all the information we could possibly need. Very thorough, very professional. And
cool.
You know, sometimes you're like, you got to like use a cattle prod to get just a stage plot and an input list out of these.
They're ready.
These guys are ready.
They're ready. They've been doing it.
They played some pretty big shows for a tribute band. You know, Get the Let Out is probably one of the biggest tribute bands. They're like doing European tours. I would say Mamma Mania is like the Get the Let Out equivalent.
Okay.
For ABBA.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So funny.
Whatever that means.
What was the? I saw last. Was it last week? Was like the Motley Crue.
Poison. Yeah.
What was that? It was like three bands, right?
Yeah. So it was Motley Crue, Poison, and Bon Jovi.
Oh my God! How was that?
It was really good. Yeah.
I saw that. Honestly, I was like, oh man, this is like, I don't know, it was tempting.
Can I tell you my justification for why tribute bands exist? I've been forced to think about this a lot.
100%. Like, you know my, I don't know if you know my personal opinion on this.
I mean, not necessarily, but I mean, you and I have been in a tribute band.
Well, we've been in a cover band.
I mean, Mike Patton tribute band, though.
I guess.
Does that count?
So my thing about the tribute thing, here's my take on
okay,
it, right?
Okay, yep.
Tribute is like, you're trying to copy the thing exact and you dress up like it.
Yes.
So otherwise, you're just playing in like a cover band.
Yes.
I think what we did with the Mike Patton thing, which we might be back, by the way, in January, as the Sultans is a, you know, I'm sure the four people out there are like excited about that.
Yes, the other four people that are in the band.
That's right, the other four people that are in the band. So like when I did the Zappa thing up here, I didn't call it a Zappa tribute. I just called it we played the songs.
Yeah.
It's more of a cover band because we didn't, you know. But.
Yeah, you have to look the part.
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to play things note for note either. I'm just kind of trying to play the songs.
That's fair.
I think these things, a lot of the tribute bands are like doing it. Like they dress up, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. So they're like a tribute. Yeah, like they look like the
ultimate 80s night there, the three bands. They did costume changes.
Yeah, so they're like a tribute.
Yeah, they were like legitimate like tribute.
Like mini Kiss.
Honestly, man, that guitar player could shred. He was really, really talented. But as far as tribute bands
we
boost our ads all the time, and, you know, because we're trying to sell tickets. And we'll get these comments that are just, you know, what's wrong with these people? These people are weird, dressing up, pretending to be somebody else. What is that? I'm like, yo, have you ever heard of Halloween or Ren Fair or cosplay at Comic-Con or the... You know, every year when hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people dress up like Santa Claus, like, number one, that's just a dumb argument. But also, there's a barrier to entry for a lot of people to go see the real thing sometimes, right? Like, think about Taylor Swift, for instance. How much do her concert tickets cost? Hundreds, if not thousands of dollars.
I'm not going.
So, sure, Mark. Anyway, so, you know, we did a Taylor Swift tribute and, you know, a lot of people were just hating on it. But in reality, there's that barrier to entry just in affordability. And so it made it possible for people who all love the same thing to be in a room together and sing and dance along at a fraction of the price. And I think there's something to be said about that. I think that's something special.
100%. My take on music, and even though I'm known online for like being really funny, the latest one was this Kiss thing that I posted on, and I set my profiles to public, and it's crazy the engagement I got.
Oh,
dude, I got like 200 and something people I don't know.
Sorry, my bad.
Wow, that's your ringtone?
Yeah. The other one's a motorcycle. Because I was like, this seems like the coolest one.
Yeah, right. What the hell was I saying?
Kiss.
Oh, yeah. So I posted this, you know, trying to, like, Gavin Vitale is trying to convince me that Kiss is good. So I said I'll buy the first 10 albums and I'll go through them and listen to them. We had a whole show. It was really funny. I think I downloaded it where we played some Kiss songs and talked about them. So I bought Love Gun recently and it's terrible. It's terrible. I mean, some people say it's good. It was fine. Like, I understand it. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
I totally get it. And if when you were like a 13-year-old boy, when that thing came out, you were like, this is the coolest thing ever.
Oh, my God. Love Gun? Do you know what he's talking about?
That's right. And look at the makeup.
Yeah.
And then there's like girls and Kiss makeup on the ground. You know, like, okay, I get it. You're a 13-year-old boy. This thing came out in 70, whatever, you know, 78 or something like that. And it's awesome.
My roommates and I, when we lived here on campus, Love Gun was one of our, like, we listen to it ironically because it's hilarious and all sing along in our best falsetto.
Oh, yeah. It's
and
terrible.
And unfortunately, I came to actually enjoy it because of, like, hearing it that many times.
Sure.
And now I have the nostalgia for it.
But. I get it. Nostalgia, whatever. But I literally had, like, 200 people reply on this feed online, and it's super funny because some people are, like, they don't know me, you know, because these are just, like.
Your Facebook comment sections are just terrible.
Oh, they're amazing.
I mean,
but people
incredible.
Are just like, what do you know about rock and roll? Have you ever played guitar? Like people that don't know me are just like, what, you don't like, oh, maybe you should go listen to ABBA, man. Like, and I'm like.
That's a great idea, actually.
Oh, that's a great idea. I'll go listen to ABBA. They're like, you don't know anything about hard rock. And I was like.
Hard rock? Kiss?
Yeah. Anyways, glam, whatever it's called. Anyways, it's super funny. If you want to, you can go onto my social, which is just Mark Bucket. It might be Mark No Stopping the Rock Bucket. I don't know what my Facebook name is anymore. But if you go on there and go back about a week, you'll find the Kiss post. And it's pretty funny if you read all the comments. It's like some people, the Kiss army came out for this post. And they are on it.
I tell you what, I have seen the engagement numbers on some of your posts lately, and it's kind of shocking. Like,
oh, it's completely
shocking. You can give like a, oh, my favorite, though, is when you share an Onion article and the people in the comments are like, oh, stupid liberal, you probably believe this is real. Like, because they don't realize that you know it's satire, and it's a very well-known satire website.
Yeah, they don't know it's satire.
It's heinous.
There's a really funny one that I posted the other day that people were commenting on, and it was the CDC finally eradicates all children. It was just, like, totally amazing, you know. And, you know, of course, there's people that are just like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, like, no, if you want to retain your faith in humanity, stay out of the comments section of any of Mark Paquette's even remotely political posts.
Correct. They're super funny. And on that note, tribute bands, we should have them.
I agree. There is one other thing, too. I know someone who went and saw Guns N' Roses recently and said that Axl Rose sounded like Mickey Mouse. And so, you know, yeah. You have bands like Guns N' Roses. Motley Crue is a great example. Vince Neil cannot sing anymore. Anyone who's seen the videos of him recently knows that.
Yep.
And even Bon Jovi had stopped touring because he couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Brian Johnson, AC/DC, they'd probably still be out there if Brian Johnson could still do
that. Well, he's out there. They're touring right now.
Are they right now?
Yeah, and he sounds way better.
Oh, that's great.
Good. But he doesn't sound like that. He uses head voice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which
well,
is
anyway,
fine, but, you know, whatever. Either way.
My final argument for tribute bands is 9 times out of 10, you're going to get a band that's half the age of the actual dudes, or even younger in some cases. And they can still sing, and they can actually sound like that guy in his peak, in his prime. And, you know, you can pay hundreds of dollars to go see GNR or Motley Crue right now, and it's going to sound terrible. The music might be fine, but the vocals are going to be bad.
Yeah, I mean, so Axl Rose is 60...
plus.
Four?
Yes.
Like, if you expect him to sound like people, like, he doesn't sound like that, I'm like, he's 64. Like... Is your dad 64? Can you imagine, like, your dad out there, like, singing that? Like, the answer is no. Or your grandfather, really. It's starting to get to that point. Where it's like, okay, he's out there singing, you know, it's so easy. I don't think so.
No, I mean, those guys had, you know, high register voices from the start. And, like, you know, as someone who's got...
In your 20s.
Like, a deeper voice... I can't do that for like 10 minutes, let alone
I did it at the
decades.
Beatles show for 2 songs, and it killed my voice for like a day.
Yeah,
you know,
I
screamed some Lennon stuff and was like, I was like, what's going on the next day? You
know? Let me hear it, Oneonta.
So, yeah, we do want, I mean, once again, if music is music and if people are enjoying music, that's a good thing. It didn't hurt anybody.
I agree.
So that's the way I always look at it. Do I make fun of it? 100%. But that's what I do.
Right. It's like your default.
That's my default. I make fun of everything.
Not do that.
Yeah, I got to make fun of it. Right? I make fun of myself, too. Here are 6 questions that I asked yesterday.
Okay.
These are 80s questions. I ask 80s questions every day, in which we're going to do that, but we're also doing some other trivia today.
Okay.
I bought a 1989, the 80s edition Trivia Pursuit thing years ago, and I never opened it, and I opened it.
Oh, fantastic.
It was like brand new opening for me, like a couple weeks ago. So I go through the cards every day here, and I ask, these are ones that I can give the answers out, and then I'll read one every once in a while here, and we will try to guess the answers possibly, but I won't announce them until tomorrow.
Okay.
Here's from yesterday, 80s. What 90-year-old American oil peace? What 90-year-old American oil and peace baron? Baron, I love that name.
Peace baron.
Well, oil baron and a peace baron. I guess this person was both in oil and in peace.
Okay,
whatever that means. Okay, yeah. I don't even know if that's possible. I guess when you're 90, back in those days, it was nailed down the title of Commander of Arts and Letters of France in 1988.
That would be Reginald.
Reginald. Reginald. Nictu. Tatu.
I'm trying to think of something French. Reginald Baguette. Yes. Of Francis Stan.
Reginald Quebec Nordiques. Baguette. Reginald Baguette.
Yeah, I could not possibly answer that one.
Armand Hammer.
I was so close.
Very close. What daytime soap opera went from number 4 to number 1 during the 1988, by the way, writer's strike?
All My Children.
Nope.
Days of Our Lives.
It's like Sands in the Hourglass.
Dang.
Yeah,
for real?
Oh, for 2. Yeah, that's correct. It was Days of Our Lives.
Oh, man.
What accused Nazi war criminal said in 1987... I can't even kill a chicken.
Goebbels?
Nope. John Demjanjuk? Demjanjuk? I don't know this person. This person just sounds evil. Okay. What U.S. auto company sloganed, in quotes, what a luxury car should be?
Oh, no.
It's a good one, because I had one of these. I told everybody I had one of these.
Chrysler?
Nope. Lincoln.
Dang it.
The Lincoln, and I had a Lincoln Town Car, 1992 Lincoln Town Car. That thing was awesome. I mean, it was big pimping.
I have a great joke to tell you, but I cannot do it right now.
We'll do it later.
Okay.
We'll do it while Barry White's playing.
Okay.
What former New York Yankee announced, I love movies if I like them.
I love movies if I like them. New York Yankee from the 1980s.
Must have said it in there, whatever. But this person is also known for, he has like books published about the stupid quotes that he said before.
Oh, it's
super funny, and he's funny. He's a funny dude.
I don't know.
Yogi Berra. Yogi Berra, if you ever go online, look up like Yogi Berra quotes, and they're super funny. They're so stupid. Okay, here's one you might get. So you're 0 for 5. You may get one. How many Friday the 13th movies were released during the 80s?
During the 80s?
Oh, that's a good one.
I'm like trying to count them on my hand here, but like after number 3, Dream Warriors.
No, that's Freddy. That's Freddy.
No, I got nothing. I don't know. 5?
7.
7 movies in a decade.
Yeah, so that's too many. So you got the first one, you got the first 3, which are Friday the 13th, then part 2, then part 3. 4 is the final chapter. 5 is a new beginning. No, 5 is something. 5 is the one without Jason in it. It was like some other dude. 6, I think, was new beginning. 7 was something blood. 8 was Jason Takes Manhattan.
Mm.
9 was Jason Goes to Hell.
Mm.
10 was Jason X. I'm pretty good with this.
Now, I'll be honest. I was never a big... I love horror
Jason
films,
Lives.
But I never liked slashers.
Oh. Yeah, they're okay. I mean, they're fine.
I've always liked the monster...
Gotcha.
Like,
that
the thing.
Yeah, the thing. The thing's great.
Or the possession ones, but even like Evil Dead, Army of Darkness.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like those are solid.
Did you watch the new Evil Dead films?
I watched the new one, and I saw the first of the 3 that came out. I saw the first one and the third one in the theater. The one in the apartment I saw at home, which was great. Was that Rise? No, that's the new Rise.
Burn is the new one.
Burn's the new one. I loved Burn except for the last 5 minutes.
I
the AI thing at the end. Or not the AI, the
CGI
thing.
It was the weakest of the three.
Yeah, the CGI stuff killed it. Like, it was great up until that.
Yeah.
I thought it was great until the final, like, boss came, you know.
No, I really enjoyed it for the most part as well.
But yeah. Last 10 minutes sucked.
Yeah, I, you know,
you could turn it on.
I'm like going back in my brain, and I cannot for the life of me remember what happened in the last 10 minutes of that movie.
Exactly. So. It's terrible.
Yeah.
There's a CGI demon, and it just ruins it. Like, because most of the effects before there were practical.
I mean, in the first rebooted film, The Evil Dead 2013, I think it was, all the practical effects, and it was almost entirely practical.
Yeah,
effects,
it was crazy.
If I'm not mistaken, were incredible.
Oh, they were. It was insane. Okay.
How did we get there? Jason movies, right? Okay, Friday the 13th.
Right. So here's question number one of the new card. This is for tomorrow, tomorrow's listeners. Who did Jerry Lewis say told him, in quotes, "To me, you're nothing but a dollar sign"? Crazy.
No idea.
Wow. Okay. Cool. Well, we'll read through some of these.
Okay.
We're going to play a song. And then Jeff's going to tell me this joke off of radio. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about some Stephen King trivia, which is not that hard. I went online. I pulled up something.
Yeah.
So Jeff, for those of you who don't know, had this awesome Stephen King YouTube channel, and I loved it. It was super fun for me because I'm a huge – besides Jeff, I'm probably – you know, I own every single book in hard copy, you know, and I've read them all. So
The YouTube channel was one of those things, like it was during COVID, and I was looking for something to do that.
You got pretty far into it, though.
I did. I got really far into it. I did it for like 3 years. And
it was cool.
It just got to be where I don't have like a work-life balance as it is. So
No. It's fun. Maybe one day you'll pick it up again.
I thought about it.
Yeah, it's awesome. It was one of my favorite channels because I would be like, oh, cool, like knowing all these like eccentric, super deep dive into stuff that nobody needs to know about.
Yeah.
But it was fun. Okay, we're listening to some Barry White here. Hold on. And then we're going to come back and do this quiz thing.
Nice.
Barry White.
There's a...
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that. There's many times that we've loved and we've shared love and made love. It doesn't seem to me like it's enough. It's just not enough. It's just not enough. Oh, baby. Oh, baby.
Can't get enough of your love, man.
I can't get enough of your love, baby.
That's right. Okay, I'm going to ask one more of these 80s questions. I got to get through six of these plus all this other trivia stuff.
No.
In like 29 minutes. Okay. What actress's film credits include Amazon Women on the Moon, Charlie Chan and the Curse of the Dragon Queen, and Lady Hawk? Wow, this is crazy from the 80s.
Barbara.
No.
Bridget.
No.
Let me start in the A's, and I'll just say every name I can think of. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Here's one more. There's a third one. And then I'll ask the other three after. What tune did the band hail re-elected Ronald Reagan with when he claimed victory?
Say that one more time.
What tune did the band hail re-elected Ronald Reagan? Did the band hail Ronald Reagan with?
So, like, what song did they play?
Yeah, when he claimed victory in was it 1984, whenever he re-elected?
I'm Too Sexy.
That's correct.
Yes.
Right, said Fred.
I knew that one.
That's correct. That's actually not correct. But that's fine. the war on drugs. Mm. It was the war on drugs.
Worked out great.
Yeah, that's right. Take a bite out of crime.
We're bringing it back.
We're bringing it back.
We're doing it again.
Okay, so with the... I found a relatively simple, I think, Stephen King quiz online.
Okay.
And we're going to see how you do with these questions. And maybe we'll, every once in a while, there's like maybe 20 of them.
Okay. It's too early for...
It's called the Which Stephen King Book
Quiz. Okay.
It's not that hard. Okay. It's not like, a, you know, what color socks was he wearing, you know, at the press conference in 86 when he was doing...
the Tommy...
This machine just called me a murmur, right? From the ATM machine from, what's that, Maximum Overdrive.
Oh,
you
my
know,
gosh.
Based on a short story, Trucks.
What a terrible movie.
Oh, yeah, but it was awesome at the same time.
AC/DC soundtrack.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it was great. Yeah. Okay, here we go. You ready?
I'm ready.
First question. What was the first novel King ever published?
Carrie.
Correct. Okay, here we go. Which book is about a man who has an evil-hearted twin?
The Dark Path.
Correct. Correct. Okay, here we go. This one's... Okay. Which book did King allow to go out of print due to negative publicity?
Rage.
Yeah, Rage. So Rage being one of the four...
Richard Bachman books,
but he published them separately, but then you could buy them as a collection.
You know,
right? Is that true or not?
Yes, yeah, you could get them separately, and then they came out as like the collected version.
Yeah, the Bachman books.
Which I don't, if you can find them individually at this point, they're probably hundreds.
I own three of the individual ones.
Do you?
Yep, the only one I don't own?
Rage.
But I do have an original first pressing of the Bachman books with Rage in it.
I paid a lot of money for that one. I don't know how.
I paid $280 for mine. That was the last book I needed, but I did buy it. It's in mint condition. It's a first press.
That's pretty awesome.
It's pretty awesome. I did spend a bit of money for that
book. Nice chunk of change.
Yep. But
yeah, Rage is. It's good. It's not among my favorites, but you know, I respect his decision to pull it. You know, amongst the just constant.
Yeah. And if anybody doesn't know, it's about a school shooting.
Kind of.
Hijacking. Yeah, no, it's a good story, too.
I like it. I can see why he made the decision. And, like, some people are... I mean, you can still get it. Like, that's the thing, though. It's like, it's out there. You can find it.
Oh, yeah, you can buy it.
Like,
once again, it's kind of with this, like, taboo thing, you know what I mean? But, like, whatever, man. It's like, it's a story, and stories are important to tell.
I agree.
This one I'm not sure if I know the answer to, and I don't know how to find the answers to this question. I'll have to look it up after, so we'll figure it out. If anybody outside there in Radioland knows, what novel of his was the winner of the 1987 British Fantasy Award?
Well, if it was 1987, there's only a few options, really. It's either like The Talisman or The Eyes of the Dragon.
Okay, either of those are not on the list of the three. There's multiple choice here, which I'm not giving you. Because I that's too easy with the multiple choice, right? But here's the three options. It, which could be it, right? Pet Cemetery or Roadwork. It's not Roadwork.
No, that's not fantasy. Roadwork is incredible, actually.
Yeah, Roadwork's great. It's Pet Cemetery or It. I would think it might be It, but... what year was that written? 86?
That's a good question. I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay. So there's one we don't know.
Okay. All right. Hey.
Which both of us don't know it, right? Cold Mountain State Penitentiary is the setting for which book?
Cold Mountain
State Penitentiary is the setting for which Stephen King book?
Geez. I'm going to go with The Green Mile.
Correct. Yeah. It is not Cycle of the Werewolf, which is one of the...
One of the options.
And I actually have a really good... I have the first pressing of that book, too, which is awesome.
It has awesome illustrations.
It's got awesome illustrations in it. Especially when he's the firework in the eye.
It's a good one.
And in the original book, or the original movie, it's Corey... Is it Corey Haim?
Mm.
Yeah, Corey Haim and... what's his face?
Was that movie called something else?
Silver Bullet.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, it wasn't called...
And it was like Gary Busey or something. It was like it was either him or the other, Nick Nolte. Sometimes they confuse me.
Yes.
Right? Actually, they're like the same person.
I saw somebody else say this recently on like a podcast or something where he's like, I cannot like separate these two guys. And I was like, I think that's true of most of us.
Yeah, except for if, you know, one thing, if you want to have a, if you're feeling a little down, suppose you're, like, going through your day and you're feeling a little down, right? And you're like, man, I wish I had a pick-me-up.
A little boost.
You know, instead of, like, turning to something like drugs, right, you could easily just go onto Gary Busey's social media accounts and watch him, and it's absolutely incredible.
Oh, he is unhinged.
Oh, he's completely unhinged, and he's super happy, though. He's on very, like, he has taken... the uppers, and for you, and he is super happy, and he's awesome. He's like, I hope you're having a great day. Yeah, totally. So go to Gary Busey's social media accounts. Also, Goldie Hawn, highly suggest.
Oh no, has Goldie gone off the deep end?
No, in a good way. She's just super funny.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, she's super funny. Phew. And like I said, in an awesome way, she's just amazing. Okay. Here we go. Getting It On, in quotes, was originally the title for which book?
Rage.
Getting It On. There you go. Good job. Okay. What was the first novel that King published using the pseudonym Richard Bachman?
Ooh, you know what? That one's going to trip me up.
I do know the answer to this.
You know what? I don't want there to be a ton of dead air while I try to mull this over, but...
Rage.
Was it Rage?
It is Rage.
It is. Wow.
Well, it's definitely not Under the Dome or Different Seasons.
No, it definitely
is. Because
those
are the other two options.
Under the Dome, underrated book.
Here's my take on Under the Dome.
I'm listening.
Let's talk about Dome for a second while we have the time here, right?
Get under my dome about it.
Yeah, get... Which dome? That dome over there.
The chrome one.
The chrome dome I'm looking at right over here. Okay, Under the Dome for me, I started it, and then for some reason I was reading something else too, and I got halfway through and I put it down, and then later on I went back and picked it up and read the whole thing again from the beginning. I loved the first 80% of it, and I did not like the ending. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I think,
the premise of it is so cool.
It's got a great opening.
Oh, it's amazing!
And the cast, it's some very strong, like, you know, the humans are the real monsters of kinds of villains. Big
yes,
Rennie,
and I love that.
Yes, they're excellent and diabolical villains. The end and the twist of how they like survive the lack of oxygen was what kind of it was another one of those classic like Stephen King can't write a good ending kind of moments, which isn't true. Like he has done it numerous times,
100%.
But he also biffs it a lot.
He can biff it.
You know, spoiler alert: they end up sucking the air out of a tire, out of an old tire. They're just sucking the air out of a tire. Yeah.
And I just thought that was like you could have just not done that at all, because like moments later the dome goes away and they can all breathe again.
Yeah.
So like we could have just not done the tire thing at all and could have just had them almost at the end and then anyway, right, that's enough of that. But yeah, I really like that book. But it
the character development is amazing
in
it.
1,500 pages.
Oh, it's very long, and like I said, it's good. And there was like a mini series, and I didn't make it through that.
I did not. Either.
I got through like the first season or something, and then it just started going off the rails.
You know,
and I was like, nah.
They put I can't remember his name in Breaking Bad. It was Walt's like brother-in-law.
That
put
guy.
Him and his big Jim Reddy, and I thought that was excellent casting.
100%.
But like outside of that, I didn't. Yeah. There was nothing there for you.
That's correct.
Thank you. I got it. I got this one. I got it correct.
The character Roland Deschain is the protagonist in which story?
I don't know. Give me a minute.
Correct.
Great. Children of the Corn.
The answer is Joylin.
Oh, perfect. No. Okay. I was going to say Colorado Kid.
The Colorado Kid. I know. Which book was made into a movie starring Arnold Schwarzenegger?
The Running Man.
Correct.
That movie.
The original movie with Richard Dawson is awesome.
Ooh.
Sub-Zero. Now just plain Zero.
Yo. When I watched that when I was making the YouTube channel, it was the first time I'd actually sat and watched that movie.
Oh, really?
Oh, my goodness.
It's awesome.
It is so heinous.
Oh, my God. It's so bad. But at the same time, when that came out, I was probably like 10, right?
There's so many of those like Arnold one-liners.
Oh, yeah.
Like that was his whole thing.
Dynamo.
He said, I'll be back, and that blew up, and then it was just like, okay, everything you do needs to have those. Just one of these is going to catch.
That movie was awesome. No. Because it takes place, like, outside. It's, like, not in a, like, a...
I mean, it...
Did you see it?
Yes.
Okay, it's not, like, in, like, a... Like, it's not, like, the same as the first one, right?
Right. It's not, like, in an arena, I guess I would call it. But also, neither was the book.
The book was not either. Yeah.
But, like, there wasn't that game show element in the book either. I don't know. It was, like, they got some things right, and it was enjoyable, and other parts, like, I don't know. It was fine.
Okay. It's one of those movies where it's on my queue, and I go past it, and I'm like, I'm going to watch this tonight, and then I see, like, you know...
literally
the death of
else.
Nosferatu part 17, and I put that one on instead. You know. This one has Roseanne Cash as Nosferatu. Great. I'm gonna watch that.
Sold.
Yeah, exactly. Sold, right? And I kind of skip over it.
Well, I can't even remember the name of the actor that they put in as Ben Richards in the new Running Man, but I don't know why. I don't enjoy him like at all.
No.
I can't remember his name.
But the cast in that original one's great.
Yeah.
Like, everybody in that. And Richard Dawson.
You had Jesse the Body Ventura.
Yeah, Jesse as Captain America. As Captain America or Mr. America.
Whatever
his name was. He had, like, the metal arm thing. He's like, you know.
There was one that was, like, an opera singer. One of the
guys. There's Dynamo.
Yeah.
The Dynamo. And he had the little car.
Yeah.
Driving around in the car.
It's so weird.
And then the guy with the flamethrower.
Yeah.
He kind of looked like a Geordi from, like, or the guy from Reading Rainbow there.
Who?
The guy from Reading Rainbow, Geordi. Like, the guy from the Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
With the banana clip or whatever it is.
LeVar Burton.
Yeah, LeVar, yeah. Okay, which book did King say is a story about what small towns are like?
Salem's Lot.
Yeah, that's correct. What was the last novel King published as Richard Bachman before it came to light that Bachman was King's pen name?
Oh, before it came to light.
Oh, so this one's tough because I don't really... It's one of... Oh, I think I know what it is.
I don't remember. What are my options?
Well, I would think it would be one of the... You know, there was the four, and then there was a book, which was kind of bigger on its own.
Thinner.
Yeah, exactly. I'm pretty sure it's thinner.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The Regulators was King, right?
No, Regulators was...
It was already known that he was Bachman by
and
then.
He did Desperation and Regulators.
Oh, was Desperation as Bachman too?
No, Desperation was King. Regulators was Bachman, but they're like the same.
Yeah,
yeah.
Universe or whatever.
At that point, I think he was just goofing off.
That's right. Which book won the 2006 Bram Stoker Award?
2006. Ooh-wee.
Man.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, there's three options here. Black House.
Mm.
Good book.
Mm.
I liked it. I love The Talisman.
Messed up book.
And Black House is messed up. Lizzie's Story.
I'm going with that one.
Or From a Buick 8. Which, From Buick 8, I remember reading, but I don't remember anything about it.
There's like a demon
car. Yeah, there's a car.
In the trunk of this car.
Yeah, yeah.
And the cops find the car on the side of the road, and then they, like, put it in the shed because they know something's wrong with it.
That's right.
But they don't know what to do about it, and then it stays there for years and years until this kid, like, starts, like, hanging out with the cops, and he's, like, one of their sons or something like that, and he starts, like, poking around into the Buick, and it like, eats people and, like, sucks them into the trunk of the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember part of that, but it was like a book that just kind of went through my brain. And it was fun when I read it, and then it just kind of disappeared.
It's like if Christine wasn't as good.
That's right.
I'm going with Lizzie's Story, but I don't actually know that.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that either. So if anybody knows, 2006 Bram Stoker Award, Stephen King book. Okay. Which novel has a pop-up book adaptation?
Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon?
Yeah, you got it. Great book.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's a short one, but it's pretty creepy.
Yep.
I think they were making a movie out of that at some point or another.
I'm sure they've made a movie out of everyone. Oh, this one's ridiculous. Doctor Sleep is a sequel to
The Shining.
The Shining.
Shining.
But not between 5 and 6, because that's Willie's time. Okay. Which book features an apocalypse brought about by digital technology?
Cell. You know, I know I've watched the movie adaptation of that at least twice, and I have no recollection of it whatsoever. Like, I don't remember it.
I remember most of the book. Kind of, the first half, maybe.
Yeah, I remember the beginning.
Yeah, most King stuff, you're like, yeah, the beginning's, like, amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's character development.
You know what?
What King does. He's got this opening thing that's like, whoa, damn, man, that's effed up, and then it all of a sudden it's like then this giant character development.
Yeah. Now we have to meet literally everyone who lives in this small town.
That's right. Which is cool, which is what I like about the books.
I mean, it makes it more realistic, but that book in particular, I do not remember much.
Yeah. Okay, which novel is the first to feature Bill Hodges?
Mr. Mercedes.
Yeah, so those three books are great.
I love that trilogy.
Yep.
Absolutely.
That's End of Watch, Finders Keepers, Mr. Mercedes, right? Which book was adapted into a CBS TV series in 2013?
Good Marriage.
Ooh.
No, that was a one-off film. What was it? Say it again.
In 2013.
Okay.
CBS TV series.
2013 CBS TV series.
CBS.
CBS TV series 2013. Oh, boy.
Well, it's not The Stand, right? Because
that was more recent. That was like 2020.
Yep. Storm of the Century. It could be, or Under the Dome. But Under the Dome was later, I think, right? Or was it maybe
not?
It
seems like it might have been right around there.
But I also thought that was on CBS. I thought it was something else, but I could be wrong.
I think it's Storm of the Century, most likely. But was it? Read the question one more time.
Which book?
Okay. Storm of the Century was never a book.
That's right. It's a screenplay.
That's right.
So it's probably got to be Under the Dome.
I think it's got to be.
Yeah, unless they're just wording this incorrectly.
Yeah, that could be.
Which novel was released as a series of 6 paperback books?
Green Mile.
Yep, in 1996. And I bought all those when they came out.
My parents were buying those when they came out.
Yeah, I still have my original 6.
Great story. And really cool serialized way that he dropped that.
Yeah.
It was unlike anything
and
else.
And a great movie.
Yeah, incredible movie.
Yeah, great movie. Yeah, stays pretty well to the books.
It does.
Like, enough.
And it makes me cry every single time.
That's
doesn't matter how many times I've seen it.
That's true, boss. In which book do a group of teenage boys participate in a Grizzly Contest of Willpower.
Grizzly The Long Walk?
Yeah. Also a good, pretty good movie.
Yeah. I thought they did a great job.
And I liked the way they ended it as opposed to what it is. You know, the book had to end a certain way in the and I liked the way the book ended.
Yes.
With just him kind of walking off into the distance, kind of losing his mind, right?
Yeah.
You know.
No, this was the good film. I really was not sure how they were going to make The Long Walk all that just interesting enough to make a full-length feature film out of.
And they did a good job.
I thought it was great.
That's right. Which novel was turned into a feature-length film starring Kathy Bates?
Well, that would be... There's really two options there.
Yeah, but
Misery and Dolores Claiborne.
Yeah, but I think I'm going to go with Dolores because the other one really starred what's his face.
Robert Redford.
No, it wasn't Robert Redford.
Redman.
It was the guy
from Redman and Method Man.
Redman. It was the guy from The Godfather.
Was it Robert Redford?
No, it wasn't Robert Redford. It was, what's his face? James Caan.
He died a couple of years ago, I think.
Which 1987, also great book and a great movie, Misery.
Oh, yes, fantastic.
Oh, yeah, both of them are good. Yeah, I like the book better, obviously, because the book is way crazier.
Yeah, they can dive deeper into the psychosis.
Yeah. And the kills are different. Or not the kills, but the brutality of it.
The bludgeonings.
The bludgeonings are different. A 1987 novel is closer to science fiction than horror. Which 1987 novel is closer to science fiction?
Tommyknockers?
Yeah. Tommyknockers. Okay. Which book does Captain Trips devastate the population?
Understand.
Correct. Which book does the mangled word red rum play a significant part in the plot line?
The Shining.
Correct. Which novel did King say he can't hardly even remember writing?
Tommyknockers.
No.
Oh, Cujo?
Probably Cujo. Yeah. This Christine Cujo or Rage. I think he was like drinking, right?
Yeah.
Pretty heavily and doing drugs.
I think, I think he had his little that's, thing going.
What? I guess not my
idea. He's riding the snowy mountains.
The snowy mountains of Maine.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Which novel was published as a mirror version of Desperation?
The Regulators.
There we go. Which book was originally going to be titled The Napkins?
The Napkins?
Yeah.
The Napkins.
A napkin plays a part in this.
I don't know.
I think it's thinner, right?
Yes.
Wasn't the thing written on thinner? Didn't she write that on a napkin or something like that?
She whispered it in his ear.
Oh, but maybe in the book or something like that? Or maybe what? Did she whisper it in his ear in the book?
Maybe it's about, like, feminine hygiene products.
Napkins. Stephen King writes a book about feminine hygiene.
I mean, Carrie.
Opening
scene.
Once again, a great movie and a great book. John Travolta in the movie.
I cannot believe that film is being remade again.
Again.
Now, it's Mike Flanagan, so I have a little bit of faith there, but the Sissy Spacek original film is incredible.
Oh, yeah, and the mom.
It's from start to finish, that is an incredible movie. There's one thing I would do differently, and that was, like, some cinematography choices during the prom scene where they do, like a kaleidoscope effect on the camera and stuff. I don't always love stuff like that.
Yeah.
But Sissy Spacek, when she loses it,
yeah,
like, she is terrifying.
Oh, it's awesome. Scenes. Yeah, the last, like, 15 minutes is like, crazy.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I just don't know why we have to keep remaking Carrie. Like, there are other ones that much more, like, need to be remade than Carrie.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Which book is about an author who experiences writer's block and delusions at a lake house? Years following his wife's death.
Secret Windows, Secret Garden.
Mm.
No?
Mm.
Read it again.
About an author who experiences writer's block and delusions at a lake house. In the years following his wife's death.
Oh, Dumaki? No. Oh, geez.
It's got two B's in it.
Big booty.
Correct. Bag of Bones.
Oh, geez. You know what?
Once again, a story that I read and I don't remember.
I barely remember that one. Exactly. I know there's, I don't know. I remember there being some fairly problematic, like, racial stuff in that book.
Yep.
Yeah, but, like, outside of that, I know they made a movie about it, too.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, with Pierce Brosnan as the lead character.
Pierce is a decent James Bond.
I gotta give it to him. He was fantastic.
Yeah, he was good.
I would.
I would.
We'll double O his seven.
Can we on the list?
Nope. James Bond, not on the list.
No, well, oh, yeah, okay. Which story is entirely dependent on the concept of time travel? Which book?
Entirely dependent on the concept of time travel. 11.
Yes.
2263.
Yeah, yeah, good. You've got the date right. Woo. Okay, in which book does that 58 Plymouth Fury play a major role?
Christine.
That's right.
Gosh, that what a beautiful car.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What a beautiful car. Like, honestly, if I ever have money, I want to get one of those real bad.
They're pretty awesome.
And they're, you don't,
and the 57 Chevy, which is somewhat kind of
them that close. Often either. The,
yeah,
the,
you don't.
The Fury. And the only reason that you see them now is because of that book and film. Like, they became collectible because of those.
That's right. Last question. And then I got to read these other ones.
Oh, geez Louise.
In which novel does a deputy who is possessed by an evil entity abduct innocent people in
Desperation.
Nevada? Correct. And also played by Ron...
Perlman.
In the really bad movie version.
It's a terrible movie.
But Ron's awesome.
Ron Perlman's amazing. And also, I guess they're remaking that too.
Whatever is the, what does he say?
Tack, 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 tack.
Okay, here we go. Here's three more questions.
Oh, jeez.
I know, we can't. It's like all questions. What fraction of Americans did a 1988 Gallup poll reveal couldn't locate South Africa on a map? Oh, my God.
Fraction of Americans?
Oh, Jesus.
Two-thirds.
I'm not even going to. Tomorrow I'll give the answer. This is just sad. Oh. What country were four of the six members of the U.S. chess Olympiad team born in?
Botswana.
Very close. What European country were over 250,000 U.S. soldiers stationed in 1988?
Spaghetti.
Correct.
On that note, we are out of here today.
Bye.
Jeff Doyle, everybody. Thank Always you. A pleasure to have him Thank on. You. Tomorrow is Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll be here tomorrow. I don't think I have a guest. I'll be here tomorrow. Friday, I won't be here because I'm going to drive to New York City to go see The Descendants and Social Distortion.
Yes.
Which is pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
So I won't be here, but I'll be back on. I'll be back here tomorrow, probably by myself, all by myself. If anyone wants to come on, you can hit me up, and I'll get you on the show. But otherwise, I'll just play some songs. And otherwise, I'll be. If I'm not here, then you'll see you on Monday. Rock and roll, everybody. You're all amazing. Jeff Doyle, the best.
Bye.
Bye.
What I do?
Things
Wait,
things.
You're listening to WRNY 90.9 FM on Yanta.
What I do?
It's all just
inside
jokes.
What I do?
That should be one.
Hi, I'm Emily Phelps. My pronouns are she, her, and I run our Gender and Sexuality Resource Center here on campus. SUNY Oneonta wants everyone to feel comfortable on campus. Because of this, we want students to be aware of our policies surrounding inclusive restroom use. It's New York State law and campus policy that any individual can use whichever restroom they feel the most comfortable in. In addition to this, we also have gender-neutral, single-stall, walkable restrooms located in every building. For a map of where these restrooms are located, please see the Transgender Resource Guide on the SUNY Oneonta website. As always, feel free to reach out to the GSRC with any questions.